Today we want to look at this thought once again. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We want to emphasize freedom is God's will. Why do we believe that God has given us this country, and why do we believe that it is the will of God for us to have freedom? I want to show you a good example here today. Joseph said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." And so even though it was very evil, God took it and turned it. Says that God causes all things to work together for good. Doesn't say He sends the bad things. He says He takes the bad things that happens in our lives and turn it to good. We all know that slavery is very evil and very wicked, and no one wants to be a slave. But at the same time, God can take even that and turn it to something good, like the greatest nation, most diverse nation in the world, the United States of America. So last week, we looked at Joseph being sold into Egyptian slavery by his brothers. How God turned it to good, and Joseph became governor. He walked right out of the jailhouse into the governor's mansion. And his brothers did bow to him. Down to him, because he was the only guy in the world that had the grain, and the whole world was coming to Joseph, and his own brothers didn't know who he was. Today we have people worrying about the climate. Let me tell you, Christians don't worry about the climate, because if God could feed the whole world with Joseph, He can take care of America and take care of the climate today. Amen. Assuming it really is a problem. Okay. Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. How many know the old generation is passing away? And so us younger folks better be getting ready, because it's falling on us. Verse 7, but the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly. How many know that's the way God wants His people? This is a great example here of what God wants. Were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. When Pharaoh saw their numbers, he felt threatened. They were about to outnumber the Egyptians because they were so blessed. So Joseph's descendants became slaves. Pharaoh said, "I'm going to make them be our slaves and serve us." And that's what he did. But God didn't like that. God doesn't want His people in slavery. And if you have some kind of bondage, a stronghold, or some addiction in your life today, God wants to set you free today. I believe during the communion service. Exodus chapter 1, verse 11. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as storehouses for Pharaoh. Verse 14. They made their lives bitter with hard work in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. So they really enslaved them and really tortured them. Pharaoh decided to limit their growth by having all the newborn babies killed. Today, they would do their medical exams and abort them. Same difference, they killed them. Or at least they were trying to kill them. Verse 15, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, "If it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." But the midwives, it says, refused to kill the Hebrew babies because they feared God. How many know we need to have enough fear of God that we don't kill babies before or after they're born? Verse 21, and because the midwives feared God, He gave them families of their own. Because they did what was right, God blessed them. If we'll do what is right, no matter how bad it may appear, then God will bless us. God blessed them, blessed the midwives, and gave them families and homes of their own. When Moses was born, his mother hid him as long as she could. They weren't going to get her baby. And have you know, there's nothing like a good mother, buddy. I mean, they'll die for you. And so then in Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Do they have alligators in the Nile? Yay. I'm sure that wasn't really a safe place to put a baby, but at the same time, it wasn't a safe place to keep him at home either, because Pharaoh was out to kill him. Verse 4, his sister, you ever heard of Miriam? His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. She was watching that basket. That was her assigned job from her mother. As you know, Pharaoh's daughter found Moses floating in the Nile. Let me believe all that's a big accident. God is working in this horrible situation to produce something very special. Very good. Even before the people really begin to cry out to God, God already had a plan to deliver them. I believe God already has a plan to deliver you today. You say, well, you just don't know my situation, but God does. Okay. And your problem is the devil. It's not people. Can you say? It's the devil and maybe you. If you're holding hate in your heart, a grudge in your heart, a bitterness in your heart, you can become your own problem. But if you repent of that and get it out of your heart, put your faith in God, God can deliver you quickly from anything the devil's put on you. You see, God is causing here all things to work together for good. We need to always be watching in our lives to see what God is doing to work things out for our good and recognize it and be encouraged by it. Verse 6, this is one of the Hebrew babies, Pharaoh's daughter said. She said, then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? So guess who she goes to get? Moses' mother. And so she got Moses' mother to be his nurse. And so she got to take care of her baby until he was old enough to be weaned and taken into Pharaoh's daughter's home. There he was trained in all the wisdom and the skill and the knowledge of an Egyptian. He had the best training there was. So God was training him in Pharaoh's university, yay, to be the greatest leader the world has ever seen. And to this day, he still, in my opinion, in the opinion of most Bible scholars, the greatest leader who ever lived, Moses. So Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and that was genius on God's part. Are y'all paying attention? That's exciting. And I'm telling you, he's doing the same thing for you. God is no respecter of persons. Well, I'm just not good enough. Well, who is? Well, I'm just not special. We're all special before God. He died for you. I say that should send a pretty good message that you're special to him. So Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, one day after Moses had grown up, and you know, even though the hand of God is on you, you need to use a little wisdom. Okay. He went out to where his people were, the Jews, the Hebrews, and watched them at their hard labor. And so he saw an Egyptian abusing one of them, and he went into a rage. And this guy was beating this Hebrew, this Jew, and Moses killed him. Well, word spreads quickly when you do something like that. Verse 15, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. He said, you may have been raised in my house, but I'm killing you. You're a brat. He's 40 years old. 40-year-old brat. Of course, those are my words. But I think it's pretty accurate. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, a priest of Midian had 7 daughters. God is working in this matter, too. I'm certainly not saying it's God's will that he kill this guy, but at the same time, God is still working. And look how he's just setting things up. And that's what you and I need to know, that even though it appears that we have totally messed up God's plan for our lives, listen, he's got another plan. I know it wasn't God's will for Moses to kill that guy, you know? But at the same time, God is working in his life anyway. Now, a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs of water and to water their father's flock. And so if we've done something wrong, first of all, we need to repent of it, make it right with God, and trust God to work everything out or to give us a new plan. Verse 17, some shepherds came along and drove them away. But Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. So this Egyptian, he was trained in all kind of skills as a warrior, evidently, and he chased these guys off single-handed. Needless to say, these girls were impressed. They told their father, "This Egyptian saved us." Well, he was an Egyptian by training and by his education, and he lived in the Pharaoh's daughter's house, but he still was a Hebrew. In verse 21, Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. And this priest became a great advisor for Moses. So God really did set this thing up. Moses settled in and planned to be a sheep herder the rest of his life, and he was happy with his wife and his surroundings. He liked his father-in-law. They were getting along great. But God was working his plan, and Moses had no clue. Y'all excited yet? You know, just watching God raise this money for these lights. When we first realized that we were going to have to replace all these lights and all the wiring and realize what it's going to cost, almost panicked. How in the world can we possibly do this? And we're getting closer by the minute. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord spoke to Moses from the famous burning bush that didn't burn. He saw this bush on fire. It was just blazing, and yet it wasn't burning up. The fire just kept going and going and going and going. It's kind of like a gas fireplace. The logs just never burn up. But the flame keeps a flaming. So the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. Did you hear that? God says, I have seen the misery you're going through. I have seen your situation. Amen. And very often, he's just waiting for us to cry out to God and pray. But we don't have time to pray, but we need to make time to pray. Listen, I have indeed seen the misery of my people, Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. We need to cry out to God when we have a problem. Amen. Or have a challenge or have a mountain. Amen. God can fix it. He told me once several years ago in prayer, he says, you do not have a problem that cannot be fixed right here, right now in prayer. I have found out that no matter what I face, I can pray through and get the victory right there in the prayer closet. I may not have the answer in hand. I may not see the miracle, but I got it in here and it will come. Yeah. Amen. It will come. In other words, God hears when we pray. So I have come down, he said. God says, I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good and special land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's God's plan for people, is to be free and to have their own land, have their own property, and to be able to do what they feel led of God to do without the government, anyone else interfering in their lives. This is God. That's why we can say freedom is a gift from God. It doesn't come from the government. You see what God is doing here. That's what he's done in America. On our worst day, we're still free right now. There's people love to change that, trying to change that. But if the Christians would get off their do-nothing and get to the polls and vote and know who they're voting for, we can turn this thing around with a vote without guns. Now don't tell me that's not good news. You see, this is the will of God. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and from the slave master and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land of flowing with milk and honey. A lot of our people that came to this country were escaping all kind of horrible things, and God brought them here and built a great nation. Verse 10, of course, America has problems. You know a nation that doesn't. Okay. If you find a better nation, we'll help buy you a ticket. Okay. But you're not going to find a better nation, even with all of our problems. Of course it's not perfect. It's not perfect. You know why? Because we're not perfect. That's the only reason it's not perfect, because it's made up of imperfect people like us. Sometimes we're just weird. You say that. Verse 10. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. He said, I want you to be the leader, lead them out. Moses, oh no. Pharaoh wants to kill me. I'm not going back down there. He had a good reason not to go. Would you have volunteered to go, knowing there's posters all over Egypt with your picture on it? Yay. Dead or alive, bring him in, Moses. You see, God will still set people free from bondage. He still has a plan to give them a home and property. Well, I've messed up my life. If you'll serve God, God will bless you. I mean, Dot and I came here, we had really very little concern about ourselves. We just did what God told us to do. And a few years ago, he gave us a $1 million house. He gave it to us. And I don't mean gave us a good deal. I mean, I think the deed says we spent $10 for it or something crazy like that. But I'm telling you, God has a good plan for every life. Instead of trusting anything and everything but God, we need to trust God. Amen. And don't trust your boss to put money in your bank account. Don't trust your boss to put water in your well. Trust God. Well, in this job, I'll never be able to go anywhere. Well, God can work a miracle in that job, or he can give you a better job, or he can even maybe give you your own business and your own company. Trust God. Let this be your example. This is God's people. They don't have a covenant of any kind yet, except the covenant God made with Abraham to bless his people. And yet God is blessing them. He hears their cries. He comes down to help them. Amen. And he's no respecter of persons. Other than you come, we're now his people. It's so hard for some of us to get that. It took me a long time to get it. God had a plan for Moses and the people of God, but Pharaoh did not like God's plan. So this is after the plague started. You know about the plagues that God used to cause Pharaoh to let the people go. And I want to point out something here. Exodus chapter 7, verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. There's a passage, too, where it says that God hardened his heart. The way God hardened his heart was asking him to do things he didn't want to do, and he hardened his own heart. It's like saying, somebody made me mad. No, they didn't make you mad. They did something you didn't like, and you got mad. Amen. Same thing. Exodus chapter 8, verse 15, it says, he hardened his heart and would not listen. So Pharaoh hardened his own heart when God asked him to do something he didn't want to do. And that's a danger for all of us. When God asks us to do something, we need to not pray until we know it's God and then go do it. Dottie and I finally figured out God wanted us in Knoxville, and so we came. If we stayed in Lexington, you never heard of us, and we probably would have starved to death. I suppose God would have fed us, but that would have been about it. You can't be blessed out of the will of God. Listen to God. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Don't harden your heart against God. Exodus chapter 8, verse 22. God sent plagues to Egypt, but he protected his own people. But on that day, I will deal differently. Listen to this. I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. God wants to deal differently with his people and bless his people so everyone around can see that God is with us. Verse 23, listen, I'll make a distinction between my people and your people, the Egyptians. God makes a distinction between born-again believers who are serving God and standing on God's promises and the Marxists and the secular humanists. He makes a difference. And if we will serve God, God will bless us no matter what these people do. Amen. And we need to do what we know to do, though. It's to govern other people, for other people, and by other people. So we need to vote, and we need to repent of our sins and get free from the addictions and strongholds that the devil's put on us. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God will treat his people differently than the humanists and the Marxists. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go through Egypt. Don't mess with God's people because God will fight for them. Don't mess with me. God will fight for me. And that means don't mess with any of God's people. I'm no more special than anyone else except I'm a born-again believer. And all born-again believers have the favor and blessing of God if they repent when they mess up and get rid of hate and bitterness and everything else. God will bless every one of us. Amen. You see, verse 5 says, every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh to the first son of the slave girl. Oh, that is so wicked and vicious. How could God be so bad? Listen, Pharaoh had the firstborn Hebrews, a newborn Hebrew baby's killed. You reap what you sow. Amen. Well, God's a God of love. God's a God of justice. Love and justice. So Pharaoh got exactly what he sowed. His firstborn baby died too. This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go through Egypt. Every firstborn son of Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the slave girl. Pharaoh had the newborn Hebrew babies killed, and you reap what you sow. Vengeance is mine, I repay, saith the Lord. This is why the secular humanists hate God. They do not want to be accountable for their sins. But we're going to be whether we like it or not. But after Pharaoh did let him go. He realized, I've got to let him go. Then he changed his mind. And he sent his chariots and soldiers to bring them back, the Israelites back. Exodus chapter 14, verse 9. I quoted part of this last week. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops. See, I sometimes tell things, but then I want to come back and read it so you see I didn't make anything up. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to God. I mean, they knew they were doomed. They knew that everyone was as good as dead. And a lot of times we find ourselves in a situation like that. We've done exactly what God said to do. And man, we're looking in the face of a giant. There's no way for us to whip him. There's no way to overcome him. There's no way to survive but God. And that's about where America is right now. No one can save us but God. I said, no one can save us but God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Forgive all their hate and violence and heal their land. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, here it is, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. A few years ago, God gave me that for this country. When I saw, you know, how bad it was, I had one of my teachers in high school was a real historian, and she taught us history, and she prophesied that one day America would be in a mess and about to be overtaken by the communists, just like it is today. She prophesied what we're seeing right now. Can you say amen? And God is going to save us. Can you say amen? And when I saw how bad things were getting, I remembered what Miss Wilkerson said, and I began to pray about it. And he said, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians, these secular humanists and Marxists you've seen today, shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the Egyptians, what happened was, as the Egyptians got close, God brought down a pillar of fire. You say, you really believe that? Yes. If you don't believe in the miracles of the Bible, it's because you hadn't had any miracles yourself. Amen. I've had miracles just as great as in this Bible, and so I have no problem believing every miracle in the Bible. A pillar of fire came down. The Egyptians could not get to the Hebrews, the Jews, the Israelites. And while he was blocking them, he was opening the Red Sea, drying out the bottom. You believe that? I guarantee it happened. And so it didn't matter if you believe it or not, it still happened. It doesn't matter if you believe in heaven or not, it's still there. It doesn't believe, you say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, it's still there. Amen. Saying you don't believe something doesn't change a thing. Amen. Amen. And it doesn't cool down the flames of hell one bit by saying, I don't believe it. The Egyptians followed the Israelites into the Red Sea. They marched right through it, and the Egyptians said, well, they can do it. I can do it. The difference was God was with the Israelites, and he told them to do it, and he didn't tell the Egyptians to do it, and the water came back and drowned every one of them. And sure enough, they didn't see those Egyptians anymore, except they saw their dead bodies washing up on the seashore. The Egyptians followed the Israelites into the Red Sea. They drowned, and their bodies washed up on the seashore. So freedom is a gift from God. This country is a gift from God. And the devil's working, and it's all the devil. You can call them secular humanists or Marxists, whatever. It's the devil behind it. Devil wants to destroy our freedom. He wants to destroy this nation. But freedom is a gift from God, and we don't need to lose it. We need to understand that Satan has a new slavery. It's called communism. The only reason the whole world is not in slavery is because the United States of America, God's beacon of freedom, has defended all the smaller nations of the world. Amen. If you don't believe that, just get you an old history book. Now, they've changed some of the modern ones, but get you an old one that tells the truth. Secondly, humanist Marxists use propaganda, lies, and deception. How could that be good? They always demonize good, godly people, so we won't trust the good, godly people. They whip up strife, anger, and rebellion between different groups to overthrow the existing authority. They promise a utopia where the government provides everything for everyone, including health care. But they know the only way they can pay for it is by taking our money and our property. It's the only way. That's what communists do. A major part of their goal is to remove God and his Bible so we will totally depend on the new Communist Party and not on God. Amen. That's what this is all about here. God's setting his people free and taking them into their own land and giving them property. Amen. Amen. Yeah. These stories from the Bible prove that it is God's will for his people to be free and to have their own personal property and exercise free will to carry out the will of God for their lives. God wants me to be free. He wants you to be free. And he don't want us to blow that freedom on drugs and alcohol and illicit sex. He wants us to use our God-given talent and ability to do something great, every one of us. Well, there's no way I can ever do anything great. You can do something great in your family and do something great in your neighborhood and you can do something great, you know, in your little world. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's true. Yeah. You see, Karl Marx said the immediate aim of the communist is, and I sat down and just read the Communist Manifesto. It really is a confusing piece of garbage. The immediate aim of the communists is formation of the proletariat, the working class, into a class, overthrow the bourgeois supremacy. That would be the managers of Starbucks, the managers of Dunkin' Donuts, the managers of Walmart, and all the business and corporate. Overthrow them, and the workers take over. Well, the workers are not trained to run businesses. So it's insane from the beginning. The conquest of political power by the proletariat, which is the workers. And so he says the workers rise up and they take over everything and they run everything, including they take over the government and run the government. Has that ever happened? No. It's always a wicked Communist Party raises up and destroys all the freedom and takes away all their property. These people are lying deceivers, and they're working overtime in the United States of America, and guess where they're working? They said this years ago, they were going to do it, and buddy, they've done it. They said they were going to get into our school system and poison the minds of our kids. That's what they've done. They've got into our universities, and they've poisoned the minds of those who graduate from our universities, and the graduating lawyers that become politicians and governors and judges, and they're poisoned with this ungodly doctrine. of communism. They just about got us. Look around. Look at all the violence in these universities. And these professors have been teaching people to hate Jews. What benefit do you ever get from hating anybody? These people are evil. Now, you need to understand, a lot of people teaching and preaching some of these things, they're deceived. They're not really bad people, but they, because these university professors, they bought into this thing. So what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we better do. Our preachers better get in the pulpit and preach the truth. Well, we don't want politics in the pulpit. This is not politics, bless God. This is the Word of God. Let's keep things straight. Politics is when you start naming personalities and promoting certain personalities. I've never done that. I have my own opinions, but I never promoted that in the church. I won't allow it. We have every kind of people. There he is here right now, and all of you help pay my salary, and I'm not get up here and insult you or making fun of your candidate. I need my paycheck. But that's not my responsibility to tell you to vote for. My job is to help train mature Christians that can make up their own mind. Now listen to this. This will blow your mind. It blew my mind. No, I never heard anyone say this, not even Miss Wilkerson in my high school. Also, Karl Marx in the Communist Manifesto, I just read it for myself, the only reason I know it's there. In the Communist Manifesto says, in this sense, the theory of the communists may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property. That's what's going on in this country right now. They're trying to do everything they can to set us up for bankruptcy so they can take our property. See, I've been watching this for a long time. And I have a good education from seminaries and universities, but also have a master's degree. I also have a degree in history. So God has given me the ability to put it together. And I'm telling you right now, they've got a plan. And if we'll do our part, it won't work. That's why God has been leading me to preach some of these messages. If you like them, good. If you don't like them, it's still God. You see, this is their true goal, is to take away everything from the working class, that would be all of us, and have a total, and to take total authority so that just like China, you step out of line there, you just disappear. I saw a picture of one of their meetings with the communist leaders, and one guy got out of line, they stood him right out, marched him right out the door, and never heard from him again. They killed him, no doubt. You want to live like that? They've actually cut people's tongue out for preaching the gospel. Is that the kind of government you want? Better be careful. You see, the way it really works is the rebels overthrow the current authority, and we've seen a lot of that going on with all the riots and stuff. And, of course, they pretend to be having a good cause, but a lot of times it's just pretense. You know, during the riots in the 20s, oh, we're fighting for black people. Well, I sat in front of TV and I counted all the white people, and it was mostly white people out there burning things, and black people were getting blamed for it. I counted them. One time, I counted 80% were white, and they were pretending to fight for racial rights. No, they were just trying to burn and destroy. Hey, pay attention. Well, there's racists in America. Yes, there are, on both sides. That's why people hate black people. Black people hate white people. But it is nearly not, it's not like it was when I was growing up. The whole world has changed. It's a whole different world. There's always going to be some evil person. Pray that God will take care of them and get on about your business. Become a millionaire and buy their property and put them on the street. No, I'm kidding. Okay. You see, the way it really works is, well, I got to hurry up. The rebels overthrow the current authority, take control of all the businesses and properties. This is what they've already done in these communist nations, including private property. They take private property and take control of all political power. They often murder property owners and anyone who disagrees with them. You see, the Communist Party becomes the ruling class rather than the workers. The workers don't become the ruling class. They become the ruling class, and they're evil, wicked people because they have preached hate. They've taught division. They've done everything they could to overthrow businesses and overthrow the government. Do you think those are good people? And they're the ones that's in charge of China right now and Cuba and North Korea. Some of these secular humanists in our universities have been saying Cuba is their model for equity, where the government takes over everything. It takes everything away from people and gives them what they want them to have. They call it equity. I call it being ruled over by a ruling class that's full of the devil. Evil people. You see, this is what they did in China, North Korea, Cuba, and are doing right now the same thing in Venezuela. There's a family that owned a lot of property in Venezuela. They lost everything they had. They escaped, made it to the United States of America. And my son is dating their daughter right now. Okay. And that is, and they said that's exactly what they did. They managed it so that they just go bankrupt and lose everything. And they lost everything, and they had to leave to escape with their lives and freedom. And so what happening right now? America's next if they have their way. But they're not going to have their way. As long as I got knees and I can get down and pray, they're not going to have their way. And I need all of you on your knees with me. You see, the reason they want to defund and ban the police is to get them out of their way so they can take over America. Do you know they can't bring in the army inside of America? What protects us in this country is the policeman. Yeah. Well, there's bad apples. Yeah, there's bad preachers too. But you're still here listening to this one. You don't throw away the whole bushel of apples because you got a bad one. You throw away the bad one. Kick him out. That's why you need to get the polls and elect good mayors. So they fire their tails. See, many good people have been deceived by the Marxists, so they are promoting defunding the police and the removal of our guns so we cannot protect ourselves, not because they're bad people, because they've been deceived by these Marxists in these universities and schools, by the way. High schools, too, now. You see, I'm a truth broker. You don't know what I am? I'm a truth broker. My job is to preach the truth. The Bible and how it applies to modern America and applies to our lives. That's what I'm doing right now. I don't have a choice. God makes me do it. Told me to do it. I'm doing communion today. Let me preach a sermon on healing and then do communion. And God says, I want you to do this right here. Yeah, I got it. So if you don't like it, take it up with God. And then I'll eventually get through it and move on to something else. So just be patient. Truth is, the only thing that can save America is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free or make you free. Many of the secular humanists and Marxists in our universities and in our streets are self-proclaimed Marxists. They actually tell you they're trained Marxists, some of them. I'm just surprised they're that bold. Who say we need to burn down America and replace her basically with a Marxist state. What do you think they're going to replace her with? This is a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. So the only thing they can replace it with is Marxism. As in the case of Israel, God wants us to be free and boldly take charge of our lives and serve Him. We need to make sure we have repented of our sins, made things right with God, and that we're obeying Him, and that we're praying and believing God, and God will intervene. Karl Marx talks about the workers are common people taking control of all power and authority. And guess what nation has done that? This is what the people of America have done. They've overthrown the king and his control. And we have created a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. We are the government. We don't need Karl Marx. We've already done it. We just need to keep it. I said we need to keep it. We have created a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And if the people get out and vote and stand up for what's right and be good Samaritans, start living godly lives, we all can be blessed and prosper right here in this land. But we're going to have to get rid of our hate, attacking each other and accusing each other and allowing other people to whip up hate. We need to rebuke them and say, mind your own business. I'm going to live my life and live it for God. And God, just like you took care of the Israelites, is going to take care of me. In my family. We are the government, and I say we need to keep it. Amen. You see, God set us free, and he wants us to stay free so we can serve him and not the government. He wants to be free so we can be drug addicts and alcoholics and women chasers or men chasers and doing all kind of wicked things. He wants us free so we can do great, mighty things in this world for the glory of God. Marxism is not good for black people, white people, Indian people, Hispanic people, or any people. Amen. It's slavery. God has delivered us from slavery. Let's trust God to keep us free. Let's pray for America. Let's all stand.